This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. We talk about online components of our lives quite often on this show. Of course, America Weekend has its own website, americaweekend.com. We're on Twitter, at America Weekend. We're on Facebook as well. And we talk about issues related to things that happen online. And in this segment, we're going to talk about your children and online activity. My next guest, Amy Webb, wrote a piece recently for Slate in which she said, "We post nothing about our kid online, and you should do the same for your kids." Amy is the person behind a digital strategy group called the Webb Media Group and joins me now here on America Weekend. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Why don't you put anything about your kid online?
So, you know, I run a digital strategy firm, and we advise all kinds of companies about data and strategy, you know, and other things. And that means that I'm, I get access to review new networks before they start to launch. And, you know, I sort of understand what's happening in the bigger picture. And because of that, you know, we made a decision a while ago to do the best that we could at keeping our child, not in these networks, and to create accounts for her so that she at least had her name if and when she was ready to use it, but other than that, to keep everything sort of private. And that's a decision that we made that I feel is best for us. You know, that may not be the best decision for everybody.
No, here's the thing I find interesting about this, because as a parent of a teenage girl myself, my wife and I were very cognizant of what the internet can be, both good and bad, and we, of course, wanted to prevent the bad part from invading her life in any way. And so, you know, she wasn't allowed to have a cell phone until what we thought was the proper age. She wasn't allowed to have a Facebook account until she was into high school, and, you know, onto Twitter and all the rest of that sort of stuff. And we've all constantly urged her, you know what, don't share too much about your life, because once you get a digital fingerprint on the internet, it's going to be on the internet forever. Is that where your concern lies, that things are going up either too early, or even if they're supposedly at the right age, that they're not aware of what that means?
Well, there's a couple of things happening. And I should preface this by saying, you know, I work in technology. I strongly believe in giving our daughter complete access to the tools and technology that exist now. And so she has access to everything. The difference for us is that we are not creating content that is tied explicitly to her name or, you know, anything else. So we try to disaggregate all of that as much as possible. And as you pointed out rightly, I think, you know, the challenge is that once that information is available, it's sort of there in perpetuity, and it's difficult to take it out. And we're at the beginning of a lot of facial recognition technologies and other tools that will make it really, really difficult to be anonymous in the future. And, you know, by virtue of the fact that the internet exists and that we all use it, you know, you could argue that we are all now public figures. And I would argue that in the future, there will be a premium on being able to keep, you know, parts of yourself private. And that's increasingly difficult to do. So for that reason, you know, we wanted to start off giving her as much privacy as possible, reserving her name on all the different networks, and then allowing her the ability to create content, you know, on her own when it's time.
I want to come back to the reserving her name online part of this story in just a moment, but I'm curious, you're not posting anything about your daughter online, but what happens if she goes to a birthday party and mom or dad or some other relative or some other kid takes a picture and then posts it online, and they put the names of all the kids up there, and your daughter is going to have some sort of digital image eventually from somebody else, isn't she?
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, listen, there are photos of her around. Somebody somewhere in the comments of Slate was arguing that I'm a hypocrite because I've got photos of her up on my own Instagram account, and, you know, the answer to that is, you know, yes, I did. When Instagram first launched, it was, at the time, the best photo editor out there, and I used to use that as part of a private network just to, you know, add pretty filters to the photos that I was taking. And unfortunately, I mean, that's a great lesson, right? Those are now available. And once somebody pointed out that those images were live that I actually didn't know about, I made them private again. So I can't very well go around and slap people's cameras out of their hands and, you know, tell them they're not allowed to take photographs of my child. But I do the best that I can in asking people to respect our privacy and to not tag her. And, you know, for the most part, people respect our wishes. But sure, there are a few images floating around where she was at somebody else's birthday party, and she's not tagged, but her face is there. And I think that it's inevitable that, you know, that's probably going to happen. But that's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between that sort of content being available and parents who are posting every single thing that, that their children are doing, you know, what they're eating when they play dress up, you know, well on into their teens. I mean, it's just a different universe.
I agree 100%. Now, I do have to ask you, this is the part of the story that I'm really curious about, Amy. Is it true that you and your husband chose the name for your child based on what you could get as a domain name?
That is partially true. So I am Jewish, and my mother died just a few years before our daughter was born. As part of the Jewish tradition, there's an expectation that you name your children after immediate family members. And to be honest, you know, my mother had a lovely name, but it was she suffered through cancer, and it was really rough. And I didn't want a constant reminder of that. Every time I called my daughter's name, you know, she'd be happy when I say my daughter's name aloud. So once we sort of determined that, we had a couple of names that we were considering, and, you know, we ran a couple of searches to make sure that it wasn't associated with a porn star or there wasn't a ton of really negative content out there. We also wanted something that was, unique but not made up. And I think that these are some of the things that, you know, we're not the only ones who do this. I think a lot of parents probably do the same thing. Now, we took the extra step of looking around to see what URLs and usernames were available. And, you know, had we have found content that was negative associated with the name, then, yeah, we probably would have considered something else.
I don't know if anybody
would have done that.
I don't know of anybody else who's ever done this, Amy, to check to see if their child would be connected to a bad domain name or affiliated with somebody. I can understand, you know, if you're considering the name Kardashian, okay, that gets crossed off the list immediately. but to think about it in digital terms, you're the only one I've ever heard of doing this. Do you know other people who have?
I do. There are a lot of people that I'm friends with, you know, who do the same thing. And again, you have to keep in mind that I work in digital media for a living, so
right.
These things are top of mind for me.
Yep.
And, you know, what I do is I look 5 to 7 years into the future, not at the technology that's happening now, but what's about to come. So it was sort of a natural instinct for me, knowing what I know, to just check this out, you know, in the future. And again, this all goes back to trying to give her a sense of anonymity. Now, that you could argue that the, you know, by very nature of the fact that I've written about this, that she is no longer private, but there's a difference between writing about sort of reason for doing something and not listing all of the details about her, you know.
We should say that in the column you wrote for Slate, you didn't mention her name, and you'll notice I'm not asking you what your daughter's name is here. I completely respect your privacy, and I don't say my daughter's name on the radio either for the same reasons, privacy concerns, security concerns, et cetera.
Sure.
The difference
sure.
between us is you set up accounts on all these online things for her even before she was born. You haven't posted anything there, but what's the plan?
Well, the plan is, so we sort of created a digital trust fund, and the plan is, you know, we've reserved these names. You know, listen, Twitter may or may not be around in 20 years. I don't know. But if it is around, I'd love to be able to give her the ability to have her own username, assuming that that's something she wants and assuming that social media is something she cares about. It may not be, you know, but for my purposes, this is akin to, you know, setting up a 523 or a 529 plan, I'm sorry, and, you know, setting aside a couple bucks for, you know, future education. This is equivalent to that. We're setting up, you know, setting aside, you know, some resources for her to use in the future, and she can use them or she cannot use them. But you know, if the ability exists to do that, why wouldn't you?
I think it's very interesting, and you say in your piece that this other couple that doesn't do this, that you know, that posts pictures of their kid all the time, is essentially robbing her of a digital adulthood that's free of bias and presupposition. I think you make a great case, and I hope that a lot of people will follow your lead. I don't know so much about the domain name part of it, but I think the rest of it, to urge caution, is a great idea, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it here today.
Paul Harris. Oh, man.